You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast. It's Christmas. Welcome to the New El Arpa Podcast. Joining me, of course, is Maria. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Are you in the festive spirit?
I'm always in the festive spirit.
Even in July?
Even in July.
Wow, fantastic. That's a serious commitment to the Christmas living. So today is a new day, a new podcast, and we went to, well, where do we go?
Well, we went to the Christmas International Fair at Conde Duque.
Yes, we certainly did, and it was a spectacle for the feast. A feast for the senses. That's what I meant. Bamboozled by all the Christmas cheer in the air. So basically, yeah, it was a food market with places, well, stalls showing off food and wares and clothes and everything from around the world. And we went there today. So did you learn anything in particular?
No, we learned lots of things because they were panels that explained how they celebrate Christmas in countries all over the world, and well, a New Year as well, because
not every culture celebrates Christmas as we know it.
Exactly.
With Santa Claus. Even you don't, little Miss Spanish girl.
Yeah, well, here we have the Three Kings, obviously.
So. Which happens in January, right?
6th of January, yeah. Yes.
Have you noticed Santa Claus creeping into the Spanish culture?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was little, like, there was already Santa Claus, but it was sort of like, I don't know, people started doing it at the grandparents' house because then they could play with the toys during Christmas. Because otherwise, for us, like, on the 7th, you go back to school.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot, I think, yeah, it makes sense that way because there's more time to enjoy your toys and everything. In lots of countries, people are trying to reclaim their version of Christmas because I think every story has a Santa story or some way of celebrating Christmas in its own unique way. And we saw some of that today, as you said, with the stalls and the information that was on the panels, you know, next to those stalls. I know, for example, in Holland, and we're going to talk about the Dutch Christmas in just a moment, there's a huge campaign basically telling Santa Claus to go away. Yeah, he's not wanted, you know, it's too American, too commercialized, and it's not in keeping with the traditions of that country. So has anything like that happened in Spain? And then we kind of fought back, or do people not really care so much, you know?
No, I don't really, well, I don't know, I think in Spain, which is like adopting any traditions from any other country, to be honest, especially like the United States or...
Yeah.
But, well, I think we just combine both things. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we've lost our tradition, which is do everything, any excuse for a party.
Well, I think it's like, you know, on Halloween, I like Halloween. It's an Irish celebration after all. But people see it as a kind of a cultural invasion from the United States. But I think, okay, fair enough. There's probably more of a grounding to dislike Halloween because not every place has a tradition of celebrating a version of it. But when it comes to Christmas, I think a lot of the stories and tales are pretty similar. You know, this fatherly figure who comes and brings presents. And even with the with Spain, of course, okay, it's the three wise men. But again, it's the same device, you know, they come, give presents to the good children and they give coal or carbon to the naughty kids, you know. So I think a lot of, when it comes to Christmas, a lot of them have so much in common anyway that it doesn't really matter what you celebrate because it's all in the same spirit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think, yeah, there are variations of Santa Claus, and then in three or four countries there are, you know, the three kings, and well, it's all related to Jesus.
Well, every country has three kings. Even in Ireland, they're there at the nativity scene, but they don't play any major part in the Christmas story. But in Lithuania, I read that the three kings play a huge part. I mean, a role similar to the role they play in Spain, that they are the gift bearers in Lithuania for children there. So it's not just in Spain that they play such a predominant role in the narrative. Do you know the names of the three wise men? Sure, as a Spanish girl, surely you do.
Well, of course, in Spanish or in English.
Surprise me. in Lithuanian.
No, Gaspar Melchor y Baltasar.
Exactly. I think there's gonna be who is the black guy in that tree?
Baltasar.
Yeah, I think there's gonna be first time there's gonna be a black Baltasar in Madrid.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, yeah, about time, because it really is quite shocking.
Questions were being raised, I think.
Yeah, sure. I mean.
Yeah. You know what they all brought as well? They brought gold,
well,
obviously.
Yeah, and frankincense,
and myrrh. Exactly. So, mm-hmm. Do you know what these things are?
Yeah, they're like spices from the East, let's say.
Okay.
From the Orient.
Oriental spices, yeah,
yeah,
indeed.
Oriental spices.
Well, I did some research into this a while ago. You might remember. This is all the way back in October. Because I just couldn't wait for Christmas. The myrrh has a lot of medicinal properties. It can be used in toothpaste, fighting cancer, fighting depression. It can be used in electrical goods as well. It's used in soap. It's used in perfume. And frankincense is quite similar as well. It has a lot of kind of applications, but myrrh has the most, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, gold is something that we use to buy pretty things. So so there's a little bit of interesting things, because these are real things that were used in old religions as well, and in Judaism,
yeah.
as you know, it had a special significance in ceremonies and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Also as well, there's a bit of foreshadowing. We were talking about this earlier. Frankincense or myrrh, I can't remember which, is used in debt rituals. And theologians argue that because it was presented to the infant Jesus,
mm-hmm.
it was foreshadowing his eventual death, because that was always God's plan, that he was going to give his life for the world, you know. So you know, the writers of the Bible, they knew how to write a good plot device, that's for sure. So speaking specifically about this international fair, so what countries were represented in this event?
There were countries all over the world. I was quite surprised at how varied it was.
Philippines, Eastern European countries,
yeah.
African countries, Ireland as well got a look in, which I was quite
Asian
happy about.
Asian countries,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You bought some postcards from.
Buy some postcards from the Lithuanian store.
The Lithuanians, they're everywhere in this podcast. So what did you? Well, why? What caught your eye when it came to that?
I don't know. I just like them because I don't know, they were like paper cutouts, like forming silhouettes.
Yeah.
And one thing I really liked was that as we were walking around, we were chatting to some of the people that were manning stalls, and most of them were like, you know, I was going to say real people from that country, but well, it is true, like they were natives of that country, and some of them, you know, look like they come specifically for this. And well, they were just explaining, and a lot of the things that they were selling were made by themselves. Like, for example, the postcards were made by a woman who was sitting there, and the girl that was selling them to me was sort of translating about them.
Okay, yeah, that's true. You had that access to the culture, which is the whole point of this kind of venture.
Yeah, you want something real, because many times what you get in these sort of things is sort of like, I mean, I've seen it when I've been abroad and I've seen Spanish things, and it's sort of like, you know, like a cartoonish representation,
yeah.
of the country. So
well, I mean, these people live here, which is why I think we're seeing the real culture, because we went to the Polish stall. I never knew there was a Polish restaurant in Atocha, because, you know, I've been to a lot of ethnic restaurants in Madrid, but I never knew there was a Polish one here. And again, it's just really nice just to see what they had there. You just take a look at the stall, you can see all the chocolates,
yeah.
the kind of mixture of fruit and sweet things.
They were all very pleasant as well.
Yeah.
I mean, and there were lots of food to try, that you could try before you were over.
Exactly. And we got some nice green tea from the Japanese stall,
yeah.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Japanese, they don't seem to celebrate Christmas. New Year is more their thing. The Filipinos, we saw as well, they have a special mass between the 16th and the 24th.
Like a midnight mass, yeah. for like the week before Christmas.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Another culture who represented there, it was under Ukraine. It was in Ukraine. They celebrated Christmas by waking up very early and singing songs celebrating the return of the sun. Some kind of significance in their kind of view of the world or whatever. Is there anything that kind of struck your mind when it came to ways of celebrating or marking Christmas? Oh, well, you learned the Irish for Christmas, didn't you? Merry Christmas.
Yes, but I'm not sure I could repeat it now.
Say Nolikhona.
Okay, Nolikhona.
Beautiful. Do you notice anything from the stall?
I was quite surprised by the mention of Women's Christmas in Ireland.
In Ireland, yeah.
I really wanted to know what it was, but then I got the impression from what you said that nothing really happened.
We don't really mark it, no. Yeah. It's considered the end of Christmas for us, so it's like the last day of Christmas. You know, it'd be nice to your mother, I suppose, or your sister.
Only that day.
But it's just one of those old things that we still... I mean, we have other days. I'm sure most countries have these days. We have St. Bridget's Day, which is in February as well. It's just a religious day that there's no special holiday attached to it, but it's something that we're still aware of.
Yeah, I just find it peculiar because normally even in religious festivities don't really celebrate, let's say, or focus on women. That's what I found curious, even just if it's the name.
That's true. I haven't looked into it. Why it's there? So you know, if you feel bored at home, by all means, you know, Google it. Okay. So for example, I don't care. don't bother about that. But speaking of Ireland, we do of course have St. Stephen's Day on the 26th, which in the United Kingdom is called Boxing Day. In Spain, I don't know if there's any particular day in 26. In Holland, for example, I do know that 26 is an important celebration as well. But I think in America and other, it is very, you know, limited countries.
Yeah, 26 we have is something on the 28th. Okay. On the 28th, like we've got like the Innocent Day. Basically.
Ah, yes, I remember. Of course,
Innocent Day. Like it's meant to be like the
April
kids
Fool's
that.
Day.
Yeah, it's the equivalent, but it's about the babies that were killed by Herod.
Okay.
That's why they call the innocent saints, you know.
Ah, okay, interesting.
Because they were killed when they were very little.
Do you know what happens on the 26th in Ireland?
Yeah, it's St. Stephen's Day.
Yeah. Well done. Well, basically, boys dress up as wrens, little birds, and back in the past, it was seen as a. You know, the bird was hunted, but it's not hunted anymore. And these boys dressed as wrens, they go around to different houses, knock on the door, sing a few songs, and try to get some money. And then the money goes to charity or whatever. And the story behind it is that there was this old witch who was basically tempting men, you know, kind of like entrapping them and then killing them. And then she changed into a wren and flew away. And that's where the wren became a symbol of something kind of evil and not to be trusted.
How is that related to St. Stephen's?
Because St. Stephen's Day, well, St. Stephen was one of the saints, well, was around at the time. But St. Stephen had an interaction with he's a character in this narrative as well, in this story.
Okay.
And he was kind of involved in her demise, you know? So St. Stephen's Day, he kind of celebrated in this day. But St. Stephen was one of the first saints to, if not the first saint, to be canonized by the church. So he has that in his fame as well. And then with Sinterklaas, we didn't see any Dutch stalls.
With Sinterklaas,
which is strange because Sinterklaas is a big thing. And I've celebrated it a couple of times as well. It's a little bit like a few other festivals. Sinterklaas is a Dutch Santa Claus. He's not Santa Claus, he's a Dutch one. And he lives in Spain, and he comes to Holland every year on December 5th. And there's a Sinterklaas TV, like a reporter, kind of reporting on his movements. He's come. He comes by boat, by the canals. Everybody applauds and cheers him and waits for him. And the whole idea is that he comes with his helper, who's very often has been dressed in blackface for the last few years, and it's kind of racist undertones, but they're changing it to multicolored ones now just to make it less kind of controversial. And then children leave letters and shoes and with poems for other people, and Sinterklaas comes and gives them presents and everything. And then you can have parties and celebrations with other people where you bring food, you write a poem about that person's like Secret Santa. And you write a poem gently poking fun at that person, and it's kind of like a big celebration. So that's kind of how they celebrate Christmas in different countries. Join us in just a moment for part two. Welcome back to part two of the show. How are you feeling, Maria?
Very festive.
Me too. So, this is our last show before Christmas. So I wish you another kona, Feliz Navidad, Christmas in all the languages, and I hope you have a happy and safe holidays. You come back to our podcast refreshed, relaxed, and happy.
Yeah, have a happy Christmas, and we'll hear you, or you'll hear us, in January.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast.